Fred Film Radio.
Joining us at this time is Mai Zayed, director of Lift Like a Girl, which was recently presented at the Cairo International Film Festival, where it also was given two awards. Mai, welcome to the show.
Hi. Hi, Matt. Thank you for having me.
It's a real pleasure. So first off, I'd like to congratulate you on receiving the Bronze Pyramid Award and the Audience Award at the Cairo International Film Festival.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I mean, it's really great.
Yeah, unfortunately, I was not able to attend myself. Usually, I do go to the Cairo Film Festival, but obviously this year would have been a little too complicated. Nonetheless, you know, congratulations once again. The film that you received those awards and that you have been presenting is called Lift Like a Girl. And so, just for the benefit of our listeners who may not be familiar with the film yet, would you like to maybe say a few words of introduction and tell us a little bit what it talks about?
Yeah, well, actually, Lift Like a Girl is an observational documentary and a coming-of-age story about the young Egyptian girl Zabiba dreaming to become a world champion weightlifter. And with the help of her coach, she trains daily in a training space in a street in a corner in the streets of Alexandria. And her coach, Captain Ramadan, has been training female weightlifters for more than 20 years, starting with his daughter, Nahla Ramadan, who was the first Egyptian woman to play this sport, with his other daughter, Nagam Ramadan. And Nahla actually is the former world champion, an Olympic athlete, and one of the most famous Egyptian athletes of all times, and actually the pioneer of weightlifting in Egypt. Yeah, so in the film, we basically follow Zabiba for 4 years, from the age of 14 till the age of 18, as she tries to pursue this dream of hers.
And, you know, this is a kind of a simple follow-up question, but what was it about this story that interested you particularly?
For me, I really love the place where they are training, and I love the characters so much. And I think that's the most important thing in a documentary, you know, that you have your place and characters. And because I think Captain Ramadan is such an inspiring character. The girls, including Zabiba, of course, are so inspiring, and because they're so determined. They have this big dream that they want, you know, that they want to achieve. And it's like, it's a story that I felt that I want the whole world to see, and I want to share it with little girls, especially, you know, because I remember back in 2003, Nahla Ramadan won the gold medal actually in the World Championships in Vancouver, and that was a very big thing in the news and in the media. And back then I was just 18 years old, and I had nothing to do with filmmaking or even weightlifting, but I was so inspired by her story, and I felt that, you know, if I make a film now about this world, I can have a chance to inspire little girls to pursue their dreams no matter what, whether that's in sports or not. So that what really initially attracted me to the story.
Yeah, and you mentioned that, you know, you had to be interested in the protagonist of your film, given that, you know, you had to, you filmed them over the course of 4 years. So it is a big commitment, I guess.
Yeah, it is.
So the and again, just speaking of Captain Ramadan, who I found to be absolutely charismatic and just a larger than life character, he also has a notable history and track record, as you mentioned. But what was his response when you told him that you were interested in filming, you know, his gym and him and what he was doing too?
Well, actually, I mean, at the beginning, Captain Ramadan and all the girls thought that we were journalists, you know, that we were just there to film them for one day or two maximum, and then we would leave. And they were basically just starting, you know, just talking to the camera, and starting to deal with us as journalists, you know, and giving us information. But then I explained to him more than once that no, we really were trying to make a film here, a documentary. And at the beginning, I think most of them didn't really grasp what that means, but they were happy and they were very welcoming. But then actually after some time, they started to fully understand what we're doing. And I think Captain Ramadan was the most person who understood what we're doing and really was very helpful to us. But then the girls were always asking, like, when the film will come out, you know, after the first year, after the second year. And then that's why when we finished editing, I made sure that they were the first to watch the film. Like, I made a screening for them to watch it even before we start working on sound, because I was so eager to know what they think of it.
Yeah. Did they like it?
Yeah.
Excellent.
A lot.
So what about you, though? I mean, how did you approach this topic? Because, I mean, did you have a clear idea of where the film would take you, or did you use an open-minded approach? I'm thinking in particular when it came to the decision of actually ultimately following the story of Zabiba from age 14. Was that always your plan?
Well, actually, not really. I mean, at the beginning, at the beginning, I was so interested in the girls, you know. I think they are like as much as Captain Ramadan has this big charisma and larger than life personality, I always felt that the drive to our story should be with one of the girls or with the girls. And at the beginning, we start following three different girls in three different age groups, and basically trying to see who will make it eventually. And at the beginning, like, I had this idea that maybe the story can be about the three of them. But then later, I think after a year or two of filming, I realized that, no, I really want to make a film about this one girl, because she was, she had this very special relationship with Captain Ramadan. It wasn't really a relationship of a coach and a trainee, but more of a father and daughter. And at the same time, she was just starting her journey. And I felt that that would be more powerful to the audience, you know, and to the story, to follow a girl starting the journey rather than a girl who has already achieved, you know, being a champion in this sport.
Obviously, weightlifting is at the heart of this documentary, but would you say that there is a big weightlifting culture in Egypt?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I'm not sure. There are lots of girls playing this sport, but many of them actually are coming out of this training site. And actually, it was Nahla Ramadan and Nagam Ramadan, the captain's other daughter, who were the first women to play this sport. So they basically introduced the sport to all Egypt and the Arab world. And that's why I think the impact that Nahla has made in this sport, or Egyptian sports in general, is much, much bigger than many of us realize. And that's why I was so interested in going to the first place where it all started. And most of the girls that you see in the film are really like professional weightlifters who have a track record of successes and medals. And some of them are having medals in world championships or even the Olympics. The first Egyptian woman, the first Arab Egyptian woman winning two Olympic medals in weightlifting is coming from this training site and was trained by Captain Ramadan as well, and her name is Abir Abdurrahman. So I think this place has, like, Captain Ramadan has managed to have this formula, you know, that he, like, for the last more, like, I think for the last 25 years, many girls, many great female weightlifters came out of this training site. Yeah.
And I think also on an international scale, a universal scale, things have changed only recently, like in recent decades, perhaps, as weightlifting would probably have been seen more like a man's sport conventionally. And now things are changing, including in Egypt, obviously.
Yeah.
As this film shows. But it is interesting, though. And I think it's something that you play with as well. And not just, but the title of the film, you know, Lift Like a Girl. Mm-hmm. And also, as I was watching the film, I noticed that to encourage each other, these women sort of use masculine expressions. They tell each other to man up or be a man, which I found very interesting, because it's almost like a parallel observation on how gender shapes or has shaped language and communication as well.
Yeah, exactly. And for me, that was one of the things that caught my attention from a very early on. You know, I was so surprised by how they talk to each other, but then I realized that it's really my job, or like the film should just show reality as it is. And I think it is their way to feel empowered, you know, that they are like, okay, let's talk with each other as men. And like, that's their perception of things. And I have my own perception that I try to, you know, to show in the film. I found that very interesting, you know, because even like in the film, you see everybody keep telling Zabiba and they keep telling each other to man up, But then at one point, you see this little girl who just tells her to be strong. And that tells a lot, you know, about not only the Egyptian society, but the world, because these expressions are not only in Arabic, but in most languages, you know. And then you see this little girl who hasn't been affected yet by the culture and the society, and all what she knows is that in order to encourage and cheer Zabiba, she just needs to tell her to be strong. She doesn't need to tell her to be a man or to, you know, to be something else. And I found that very interesting.
Yeah, I remember that shot. That was quite a touching one, I felt. It's interesting how you can capture moments like that as you're working on a film that you yourself have defined as an observational documentary. But are there also any challenges in working within this form?
Yeah, I mean, of course. Actually, the editor, Sarah Abdullah, and I have spent, I think, around a year and a half working on the edit, because we had a lot of footage. We had around 300 hours of footage, 4 years of filming. And you try to capture these moments. You try to capture them when you're filming, you know, just to be attentive to all the details. That's why it was very important that I would be focusing on all what's going on with the DP so that we capture these moments. But also with the editing, like, I think Sarah and all the team actually did a great job in trying to, you know, to have these moments framed properly, you know, that they are not lost in the rest of the scene or whatever. But yeah, but it was challenging, of course.
So correct me if I'm wrong, but you also work within the fiction filmmaking form, right?
Yes, that's true.
And so does that help you in any way when you're making an observational documentary such as this?
I think so. I think it helped a lot because actually the thing is that, you know, when we're filming, because I also worked as an editor before and I worked as a cinematographer. So I have some experience in editing documentaries and I also have some experience in filming them. And at the same time, I have some experience in working with fiction films. So I think I was using these three different experiences while we were filming, because, you know, it's an observational documentary. So things are happening so fast. And I have to think with the DP on the best way to film a scene, but at the same time, the best way to edit a scene, and try to get all the needed details for the editor to work with. And at the same time, trying to write something in my mind or like build or construct, you know, something in my mind that can make it be seen as a fiction film, because that's why I really wanted to work with Sarah Abdullah, the editor, because I really love her work and she has great experience in editing feature narrative films. And I wanted this experience as well, you know, I wanted an editor who usually works with narrative features to edit this documentary, because I wanted the audience not to feel this barrier, you know, of how, you know, a typical documentary would be edited in.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you feel like you'll continue to work with both fiction and documentary in the future?
I think so. Yeah, I mean, because for me, actually, genre is never really an issue. Like, I don't see the difference between documentary and narrative, like, or I'd rather work in this gray area between the two, because I think, you know, because I think each one of them has the like points of strength and points of weakness, and I think it's the kind of story that you're trying to tell is that chooses the kind of film that you should make. Because every time I think about Lift Like a Girl and I think of it as a narrative feature, it never works, you know. It will never be as it is as a documentary. I mean, if you know that Captain Ramadan is an actor or Zabiba is an actress, I think the film will never have its effect on people as it does now. So yeah, and some other stories can be perfect as a narrative feature or, like, you know, as fiction, but not as a documentary. So I think it depends on each project. But generally, I love working with both, you know, and I love experimenting both together.
Mai, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you very much for taking the time.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.